Hello, everyone, and welcome to our kickoff call for the Insulin Resistance Solution Practitioner Training. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm going to be your leader and your guide through this process, and I'm very excited to be doing that with you. So if you are excited about this, too, and you're looking forward to this whole process that we're going to go through, go ahead and just type it into the chat. Say, yay, I'm excited. I can't wait to get started. This is it's a program that I really love doing because the kinds of reactions, the kinds of responses that our clients get when we do a program like this is so phenomenal, and I just love hearing the success stories. Now, it is some work for you to be able to learn this stuff well enough to be able to guide your clients through this and deal with some of the things, the frustrations and other things that may come up for them as they go through it. So what I want to do tonight is actually take you through a few slides, some review type stuff, some new for some of you, some review for others, and just get you set the stage and set your framework of your mind for what we're going to be learning together in this program. Short presentation, just an overview. Everything that I'm sharing in this presentation is in the membership site. Then I'm going to share with you a little bit about the site and how to find things and how the program is going to go. So before I begin, just make sure that you have attention on what we're going to be saying and that you are in the right frame of mind for listening. It's not a, we're not going to go in depth on comprehensive insulin resistance strategies, but some of the slides I have are fairly in depth. So I don't want you to get scared. On the other hand, I don't want you to think this is just a lightweight course. This is a program that can change lives. It can change your life, and it's going to change the lives of those people that you're working with. So I'm excited to be here. Yay. For those of you who don't know me all that well, I've been doing this practice, this functional medicine nutrition practice for over 26 years of officially being licensed and in practice, and for a good 6 to 8 years before that in dealing with learning for my own health reasons. And a lot of you can relate to that, because what I find is for folks in this realm, in this holistic medicine, functional medicine, nutrition realm, most of us got here from some health challenge, either of our own or of a close family member. So let's just jump right in. And before I begin, and I do this at the beginning of every presentation, so you'll have this memorized before long. And if you don't have something like this in your own practice, whether it be when you do presentations to folks, but even in your day-to-day working with them, maybe in their file somewhere, that they understand that when you're working with them on this level, that it's education. You're not doing diagnosis. You're not doing treatment unless that is within the scope of your practice, like you're a naturopath, or if you're a chiropractor, or who else, a nurse practitioner, an MD, then you have the right to diagnose and treat. But long distance, you don't. So that's something that a lot of doctors don't realize. Using the word diagnosis and treatment when you're doing nutritional education just puts you in the forefront of, you know, the skeptics and the critics and the ones that don't want us to be doing this because they want to have the hold of the Western medicine. They get a little nervous and they can use that. So just don't use the word diagnosis and treatment. I always use assessment or discovery, right? You're going to do a process of discovery to help a person determine what their imbalances are, and you're going to do a corrective course of education to help them correct the imbalances. And when you use those words, medicine doesn't use those words, right? You can't really get into trouble when you say, well, I'm going to work with you to discover what's out of balance and then work with you to educate you on what you can do to put things back in balance. Those are not medical terms. So just keep it really, just keep yourself safe, because there's, you know, there's stuff that goes on. So we're here because we know the magic of getting to the root cause of people's problems. We don't want to cover it up with a Band-Aid. And we also don't want people to go down the route of wait, just wait and see, and allow the conditions that are causing disease to continue until there's true disease. So a lot of people come in with signs of early insulin resistance. And what happens is their doctors say, oh yeah, you might have some early, you know, prediabetes. Come back in 6 months. Let's test you again. And if you, your blood sugar goes up and stays up, we'll put you on some medication. We don't want our people to get there. And we're going to show you throughout this course and a little bit touch on tonight is how these signs, the symptoms, the dangers, the damages that diabetes causes start decades before the diagnosis. And that's where you come in. That's where you come in and really doing a great job of evaluating someone's health and figuring it out long before it becomes diabetes so you prevent them from going down that path. Because just because their blood sugar went over a certain level that allows medicine to say, yes, you're officially diabetic, doesn't mean that that's when the damage starts. And quite frankly, you see people who have the diagnosis and they already have some of the peripheral neuropathies, the diabetic retinopathies, they've maybe had a heart attack or they have high blood pressure, some of those signs that are caused by blood sugar imbalance. So you guys are here for a reason, right? You understand that. So I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I just want you to remember why you're here and why this is important. And sometimes you might be going through the materials going, oh, am I ever going to remember this? Am I ever going to get this? And yes, you will. I've been doing this for, like I said, 26 years officially licensed and in practice to see patients. Before that, digging and searching and studying in school for 5 years between my pre-meds and my training. Holy cow, I've been doing this a long time. Don't compare yourself to me when I pick up a lab and I just go boom, 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 here's what's going on here. You will get there with practice. And this program is set up to give you lots of practice. You're going to learn a lot in the program. We give you access to our Sweet Spot Solutions program and all the modules there so you can see how I teach it to my own clients. And so you can actually start to find a relative, find a client, find a friend that needs support and guide them through the process. You're going to do it differently than I am, right? So my materials are there as a guideline, but you're going to make it your own. Those of our students who already gotten their certifications and they're out there doing this, a lot of them have created group coaching programs and they do it. When I read their little letters and they're talking about it, I go, oh yeah, there's some of the language that we've used and we have in common. And it's so great to see, but they're doing it their way. And that's what I want you to learn. Learn enough so that you can do it your way. So these symptoms that these people are coming to, as we've talked about in other presentations that you might have heard me speak about, are the tip of the iceberg because insulin resistance can cause major damage long before people know. Because, right, you don't see all that stuff happening below the surface. And we are, you know, queens, kings of getting to the root cause and not just symptom suppression, which is what most of medicine approach to diabetes and insulin resistance is. And this is what the risk is, right? Somebody suddenly finds themselves blind, suddenly finds themselves with ulcerations on their feet, suddenly has a heart attack, and it's out of the blue. But it really isn't out of the blue. It's been the beeping, beeping, beeping from that smoke detector has been going on for a long time, and all they're doing is pulling out the battery. And eventually, the house burns down. That's what you're just going to be the hero at preventing for your people. So what are we going to learn throughout this program? Well, what insulin resistance really is, how it develops, the stages in which it develops, and we're going to touch on some of that tonight. How to detect it in your clients years before conventional medicine would catch it. And this is really key. And when you learn to speak the language and to educate people early on, when they come into your office because they're tired or they have extra fat around the middle or they just haven't been able to get results for some of these long-term annoying symptoms, and you can educate them. You can create clients for life that are going to send you people over and over because you're going to catch things that other doctors haven't caught. And it's not that they're bad doctors and it's not that you're, you know, the brilliant one. It's that they just haven't been educated and they're not studying it this way because it's not the way it's taught in medical school. You're going to learn all the early screening tests, especially the home tests that people can do. You're going to learn how to test their glucose at home. You're going to learn how to help them get their doctors to order tests or use direct labs or other testing services to get tests. But this is the truth. If you live in a country where that's hard to do, right? In the U.S., it's easy because there's a lot of direct access services. If you live in a country where that's not so easy to do, it's okay because you can use the symptoms and the diet diaries and all that to get the information you need. Yeah, you're going to get better information if you can get them to do the screening tests. But you can guess, right, whether or not the person comes back with an elevated hemoglobin A1C, and I'll remind you what that is in a little bit, you can tell by what they're telling you, and you will be able to by the end of this program, be able to tell, boy, this person has insulin resistance. You're going to be able to tell by glancing at them. You're going to be able to tell if you're looking, if you're doing long distance stuff, have them send you a picture of them. You can often tell right away that they've got the early signs, and then you can verify it with all the stuff you're going to learn. You're going to learn the most important steps for restoring insulin and blood sugar in balance, and you're going to learn the most important nutrients to balance, but you're going to also learn that everybody is unique. When people say, oh, what kind of diet do you recommend? Is this a paleo diet? Is this a plant-based diet? Is this a keto diet? Is this a macrobiotic diet? And you say to that person with all the love in your heart, this is the Jane diet, if that's what their name is. And I actually practiced this today. It wasn't like an enrollment conversation with the client, but actually it was. It was somebody who wanted to do some stuff with me. And I started explaining that to them. I don't have diet dogma. What I have is I help people to identify the Jane diet, the John diet, the Susie diet. And as you, I highly recommend that you sign up and get into the Sweet Spot Facebook group, because that's going to prepare you for what your clients are going to be asking you. If you're not already in there, there's a link on your site that will help you to get in there. And if you don't, just reach out to us and we'll get you in there. But it's a great learning opportunity just to watch, because you'll see what your clients are going to be saying and doing. And you're going to see that, you know, there's some people really stressing out about certain things, and you're going, well, wow, they're doing a great job with the food. Why is their sugar high? Well, they're stressing out about it, right? Or you're going to see that they're going, wait, I did what you said in the little recipe guide and it didn't work for me. I got a stomach ache. Oh, they're going to have to modify it. Maybe they have some leaky gut, or maybe they have some other symptoms in other parts of their body. So you're going to be really masterful at this by the time you go through this program and get your certification, which requires that you do some cases. And no worries if you are having trouble with finding people. Whoops, the slide had some mess at the top. If you're having trouble with, like, you don't, like, how am I going to do those cases? Reach out to us. There's oftentimes people in our Sweet Spot program or in one of our programs who's struggling that we can assign to you when you get further along, you know, once you've passed the test at the end of this and you don't have any clients yet, maybe you're just starting out, you reach out to us and we will assign you someone who's struggling that you can work with. Yeah, we want to make sure that you're up to speed, you've passed the test, the module test, and we'll help you to get through this because we want you to be proficient. A lot of people say to us, this has happened before, where they sign up for the program and then they say, you know, it's been like 12 weeks and I haven't gotten my certificate yet. And I'll say, huh. Or one of our team members, Lynn or someone, will say, well, we haven't seen your certification materials. Did you submit them? Did we lose them? Can you resend them? Well, I don't do any of that. Did you do all the tests? Well, no, I'm only, you know, still on module 3. Well, why do you think you get a certification if you're still on module 3? We have a rigorous certification process because I want you to feel confident that if you passed our certification process, that you know this stuff. You may not be an expert like you will be in 20 years, but you know this stuff well enough to help so many people. And that's what we want to make sure that you have. If I'm going to put my name on a certification and say, this person knows insulin resistance and I can trust them to take care of you, I want to make sure that you're doing it right. So yeah, it's a little bit rigorous, but you will thank us for how rigorous it is. So I want you to be aware as you're working with people that there are, I like to call it the 6 stages of the on the road to diabetes. And even if someone never goes all the way to diabetes, they are still causing damage all along the way. And only a percentage of people who have overt insulin resistance will actually go on to be diabetic. But the danger of being insulin resistant, the danger of that excess insulin for so many years, is still causing them a problem. I believe that my parents had insulin resistance. I believe that that's what caused their heart attacks at such an early age. Why do I believe that? Well, based on what I've learned over the years of how it presents, but also looking at my genes and seeing that we have a lot of markers that predispose us to insulin resistance and early on insulin resistance. So I've got to be super careful. And I know that through my diet and lifestyle, I can prevent going down that course. Yes, I can get hit by a bus, but I'm not going to be putting myself at risk the way they were. So we start with just producing too much insulin. Why? Because of the diet, the lifestyle, the stress levels, the too much sugar, processed food, the environmental toxins that are damaging our body, and the insulin receptors aren't working so well. We start to produce too much, and that's hyperinsulinemia. That's generally asymptomatic and non-detectable, or let's just say not non-detectable because it is detectable. It's not looked at in the medical community. Is it detectable? Absolutely. How is it detectable? Run an insulin blood test, simple $35 blood test that doctors can be running on their people, maybe not even every year, maybe every 5 years on those prone, and say, oh, your insulin level, it was at a 3 5 years ago, and now it's at an 8. That's still within the medical, it's okay, not okay to me. They're going in the direction, hyperinsulinemia, making too much insulin. You can test them there by going and having them order an insulin test. And then there's the pre-insulin resistance. That's a term I coined. I never read it in a textbook, but I call it pre-insulin resistance because fasting blood sugar, perfectly normal. It might be 75 to 85. Hemoglobin A1C might even be pretty good or slightly elevated, but normal within the medical framework. That's why this is missed. So their fasting glucose is normal. Their hemoglobin A1C is normal. Nobody tests their insulin to tell that because it's unlikely normal. And so that's the stage where 2 hours after they eat even, they're back down to normal. But the magic is in measuring what happens in that 2 hours postprandial. Postprandial meaning after eating. So that's the stage where you can catch people. Hyperinsulinemia and pre-insulin resistance. Decades, decades, decades before they go into the real serious dangers. And then they go into maybe a reactive hypoglycemia. Some people don't even go into that, but that's a stage that they could go into where they're producing so much insulin, but then the insulin is just, you know, doing a number on the blood sugar and bringing it way down, too far down, because the mechanism is off. We're not perceiving properly. Then we go into official insulin resistance, I'll say, because in medicine, when the blood sugar goes above 100, they're considered insulin resistant. Now, I consider them insulin resistant or pre-insulin resistant when fasting glucose is in the 90s. And why don't we just wake up and give these people a break and teach them, oh, you have a problem here. Or you're heading towards a problem. You don't want to scare people. You're heading towards a problem. Let's fix it now before it becomes a problem, right? If you notice, if you have a child and you notice that they have, I don't know, sometimes lazy eye when they're little or other kinds of things that are precursors to something more serious, you look at them and you help them. You get them therapy, whatever it takes, right? Same thing here. So many kids are becoming diabetic. And when you can educate the parents, you can get the kids working in the right way. And when you see a mom walk in your office with an overweight kid or complains that her kid has all kinds of health issues, that's when the education piece starts. Whether you do a presentation in your office, which we gave you the presentation slides that you can use, it's on the site, or whether you educate them one-on-one. This is where the education is so important. And you having the competence so that you have the confidence to speak openly about this and have people go, wow, you make sense. I want to do more. The next stage after insulin resistance is really the same blood sugar markers as insulin resistance, which is elevated fasting glucose above 100, elevated hemoglobin A1C above 5.6, and then metabolic syndrome. We add elevated cholesterol or triglycerides, low HDL, high LDL, possibly hypertension, any number of those things. So not only is it affecting the sugar maintenance system, it's affecting the cardiovascular system. And then we go into diabetes, right? And it's just relatively, it's the same condition. It's just a little bit more advanced. Why do we wait until it's advanced so that people need medication to get them out of trouble? Why don't we help them early on? And that's why you're here, and that's why I am so excited about this program. It's my favorite program to teach. And, well, the background got black in your slides. We'll give you copies of this presentation. We'll load it up to the site under recordings. I'll show you where when I show you the site. But basically, insulin resistance is, you know, you've got the normal is that you've got this glucose in the blood, and the glucose fits into the insulin receptors with the insulin, and then it gets into the cells, and it creates energy, and everybody feels good. But with the insulin resistance, we've got damage to those receptors, and we can't get it in. And there's so much glucose flooding that there's just not enough. There's not enough ammunition to get them in. So another look at insulin resistance. You've got your bloodstream, you've got all the glucose in there, you've got the insulin, it's trying to get it in. And when they become resistant, the cells, the organs are unresponsive, so we get more glucose in the system. And the scary part about it is the insides of the bloodstream, they don't become the cells, the endothelial cells do not become insulin resistant. They become damaged, they become stiff, they become inelastic. And you know what that leads to, right? If somebody has a sudden burst of energy required and they have these stiff, inelastic vessels, or there's a clot that forms, they can't pass it through, and they have a heart attack or a stroke if it's in the brain. So there's a myth that we don't need to test fasting insulin in a normal person. I've already mentioned to you that if we do, we can catch this real early on and start talking to people about diet and lifestyle before they have a problem. And then fasting insulin, fasting glucose is considered an accurate measure of glucose control as long as it stays under 100 and that's safe. So these are myths that are propagated and that are causing the death rate and the amputation rate and the disability rate that's just really rampant in our society. You will know how to do this. You will know how to speak to people about this super intelligently when you understand all this. So here's the dangers. You've probably heard me talk about this before, but just mentioned the damage to the endothelial. It fuels cancer cells, actually fuels cancer cells, increases C-reactive protein, damages your mitochondria, increases the retention of sodium by the kidneys, which elevates blood pressure, which increases cardiovascular risk. It even has impact on other hormones. It affects the conversion from T4 to T3. So if you've got somebody who's got thyroid symptoms and their doc says, well, you don't have thyroid problems, you have a series of other problems like constipation, dry skin, low energy, depression, and we'll treat them all separately. No, it could be that they have the dysfunction that none of the doctors look for, which is the conversion from T4 to T3 is not happening. Could be an insulin resistance. You can't fix the thyroid unless you fix the glucose control. Decreases DHEA, which is anti-aging hormone, increases sex hormone binding globulin, which like globs onto sex hormones, mostly testosterone and estrogen, and prevents these folks from having good levels of that. So it affects fertility, it affects the laying down of muscle, it affects energy, it affects fat metabolism, right? Increases the synthesis of glucose and triglycerides. So all this insulin that's supposed to be reducing the glucose actually stimulates an increase in glucose synthesis, breakdown of the glucose from the stores, and then triglycerides. And when we see someone with elevated triglycerides earlier on, especially if they have low HDL, that's an early sign. Who's catching it? You. Not the regular doctors, but you. And then magnesium gets lost, which creates a vicious cycle, and magnesium is important for glucose control, for getting the glucose into the cells. And then it stimulates the sympathetic nervous system, which releases more cortisol. What does cortisol do? It raises the blood sugar, which increases the insulin. So it's this vicious cycle that keeps getting propagated that we are getting in there and quitting. We're getting people to stop this. It's so exciting. And I call it the dance between the hormones. I like to think about the hormones dancing. One of the modules, I used to call it the hormones that dance in your sleep, and I may still have a presentation or a transcript that I've given you that I still called it that, but people didn't get it, so I stopped calling it that. But it's basically this dance that the glucose and the insulin and the glucagon and all the other hormones, they do this dance together, right? When you have two partners that know how to dance, they're moving fluidly with each other. And when they don't know how to dance, they're stepping on each other's feet and knocking each other over. That's what happens with the hormones as well. So it's this delicate balance between insulin and glucagon. So many people say, I have to eat every 2 hours or I feel cranky or irritable. That's because the insulin-glucagon dance is a mess. So insulin is intended to get the glucose into the cells, decrease the blood glucose. And glucagon is meant to increase the blood glucose, but then it makes the glucose available so the insulin can get it into the cells. So glucagon and insulin work together to maintain energy. And so if someone doesn't eat for a couple of hours and they don't have glucose in their blood, and maybe they produce too much insulin, and after it couldn't get them into the cells, it goes, heck with this, stimulate fat storage, and it stores it, and then all of a sudden the blood sugar drops. If we have the right pancreatic function, the pancreas is balanced between insulin and glucagon, everything's fine. So when you hear that and people say, oh no, I can't do this program because I have to eat every 2 hours. That's what helps me. That's not what helps them. It helps them what? Manage symptoms. It's a band-aid. So when you can work with them and explain it, and we teach you techniques for how do you work with people when they're saying, no, I can't do this. How do you work with them to gradually shift their habits? It's those habits that have been happening for so long that you're learning here how to shift, and I'm so excited about. And then there's the normal blood sugar management. We think about it as being pancreatic function, but in reality, it involves the pancreas, the liver, the adrenals, and the brain. And then this is just really talking about the insulin glucagon, but it's all influenced by a lot of things. Genetics. I have a lot of genes that predispose me to insulin resistance. Stress. That's why I'm so excited and passionate about doing heart math and meditation. Diet. That's why I'm so careful about my diet, because I know my epigenetic modification of those crappy genes is what's so important. And it's all shaped by their lifestyle. And you are learning here to control that. So you already know the early signs are belly fat, the low energy, especially after meals. That person who says, oh, I can't go to bed 3 hours later and not eat. I have to have a snack. I get hungry even after I have a big meal. Those people who say, yeah, I have the normal mid-afternoon slump. Do you ever hear that when you're doing an intake with somebody and they go, no, my energy is great, except, you know, that normal thing like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I feel like I want to take a nap. No, that's not normal, but it's common. And people, they confuse common and normal. And then difficulty focusing. Like, wow, they have difficulty focusing. How many of those kids at school are insulin resistant? Probably a lot more than we think, because nobody's testing for it. And the cranky and irritable if the meal is missed. So the brain, and I just touching on this, we'll go into this more later, but the insulin in the brain, oh my God, we used to think that the brain didn't need insulin to get the sugar in. You just keep your blood glucose high and your brain's going to function. And now we're finding that indeed it does need insulin in many parts of it. The hippocampus, hippocampus too, cerebellum, hippocampus, and cortex, the frontal cortex where all the brain power happens. That's the parts of the brain that need the sugar and the insulin to get the sugar in. But we're seeing that those parts are becoming insulin resistant as well. And then we're having problems with short-term memory. Alzheimer's is attributed to being insulin resistant to the brain in many cases. Yeah, there's toxic causes and there's a lot of others, but big part of it is insulin resistance. Right. So this is super important. And so many people come and say, I have the brain fog. I just can't think anymore. I'm a really smart person. I just can't think straight. You can help them. Okay. So, these are some other deep stuff. We're going to go deep into this stuff. We're going to go into the nutrient deficiencies, exercise, the omegas. So important to have omega-3 balance. And so many people you see, even if they're on a so-called healthy diet, look at their omega-6-3 balance. That has a huge effect on the insulin resistance. The genetics, okay, by age 60, 40% of Americans have at least 3 markers, and 60 to 70% have at least 1 marker for insulin resistance. That's huge. And it gets worse with age because why? Abuse, right? Our lifestyle catches up to us. So as you work with people and they're starting to say, oh, it's just normal that I'm losing my memory because I'm 63, right? I'm getting into that dementia state. No, it's not normal. I know folks who are in their 90s and even 100 that have no signs of dementia. Right. So that's not normal. Don't allow people to fall into the trap of thinking that illness is normal. Inflammation. Holy cow. There's so much inflammation. People are eating inflammatory foods. There's inflammatory chemicals in our food and in our water and in the environment. A century ago, people were given high doses of sodium salicylate, say, and were shown to diminish the glucose in the urine, which means that as they gave them anti-inflammatories, it's a drug, but they brought down the elevated blood sugar. That means that, you know, these people that are diabetic, they actually spill glucose into their urine. People who are pre-insulin resistant and insulin resistant generally won't see it in the urine. And if you see it in the urine, it's usually a sign that it's pretty advanced, right? So it got these people down, which says, oh, inflammation is part of this. It increases things like C-reactive protein, fibrinogen, plasminogen, all these kinds of things, where white cell counts. All of these are correlated with type 2 diabetes. And if people have signs of this early on, like C-reactive protein, inflammatory marker, you got to believe they're heading in that direction, and we can stop this. We have the approaches that can get this working well. So this is just a little bit more about that. Gluten, so important. A lot of people are in the gluten is just a fad. And there's the books on, you know, it's really not the gluten. It's the glyphosate or it's whatever. Who knows what it really is, but we know that there's an autoimmune component to even type 2 diabetes. Right. And when people get off the gluten and dairy as well, because there's a cross reactivity between the pancreatic cells and dairy in type 1 diabetics anyway, we see people get great responses. So I won't work with somebody if they say, no, I'm not going to try that. That's just hooey. That's just a fad. Maybe it's not for them, but I'm not working with them because I feel like I know what my tools are and I know that I don't have a magic wand. So yeah, here's the magic wand. You can eat all the gluten you want and it's not going to cross react. It's not going to cause problems. So there's lots of studies on this. I have a link there. You'll have copies of these slides so you can look up the studies as well. So we're going to go through more of the in-depth behind the scenes, more of how the glucose is affecting folks. And we're going to look at the testing. We're going to look at doing a testing phase where we look at what people are eating. We help them to chart it out and watch what they're eating and monitor their blood glucose or symptoms, whichever they prefer. We go through a testing phase. Then we go, okay, you guys, here's the stuff you have to avoid for 30 days. We have some general guidelines for the metabolic reset, and then you help people to customize it for them. Then once they do that for 30 days, they say, some of them say, good, I'm done. I'm going to go back to what I was doing before. No, this is lifestyle, right? We don't have magic wands. We take them through a transition period, very similar to if you've ever done an elimination diet, allergy testing. You take them off the foods and then you, one at a time, very controlled way, you add them back in to see what they react to. And you get them on what's their maintenance diet. My maintenance diet may be very different from yours. My maintenance diet is actually quite strict because I hardly ever eat fruit because of the way it impacts me. When I eat fruit, I eat it with greens. And yeah, I could eat it every day if I wanted to. I just don't even think about it because I've gotten so out of it. But, if I'm going to eat pineapple, I'm going to have it with a huge 32-ounce green smoothie or big salad to slow down the absorption. And that's what you're going to teach these people. And that's what you're going to learn how to do to teach these people. How do they tailor their maintenance diet? Some people don't have a problem with it. Some people do. So you're going to help them. And then I'm going to help them to find their sweet spot. And I call that sweet spot that place where all of these lifestyle elements come together. They're in balance. And their blood sugar stays in this really beautiful range. And it might be slightly different for some people versus others. I find that I feel best when my fasting glucose, not my fasting, even my glucose just stays in the 70s and 80s. for fasting, I feel really good actually when my blood sugar is in the 60s and early 70s. Other people feel a little bit lightheaded. I keto adapt. We'll talk more about that, and we're going to do a bonus training. I'm going to do it for the sweet spot, and I'm going to share it with you guys on more of that ketosis and measuring ketones, because I've been doing that a lot more lately for myself and realized that I, what's called keto adapt, really fast. So my body shifts from burning glucose to burning fat really quickly. And I feel really clear when my ketones are high and my glucose is low. Other people, that's not exactly right. So you're going to help them find that right balance for them. And it's not as difficult as you think. So when they test, you're going to learn how to do this. We have a whole module on glucose testing with lots of videos and interpretations and guides. And we have a shopping guide. I just updated the shopping guide for the meters. I tested two new meters, so it's updated on there as of 2 days ago. And you're going to learn how to test and how to teach them how to test and how to, you know, be patient with them. But it's the most amazing thing. And the people that are doing it on our sweet spot program now are like, they're just loving it. Pre-meal, regularly throughout the 2 to 6 hours after a meal, up throughout 2 to 6 hours. So it might be at minimum 2, and then it could be up to 6. So you just have to work with people. Not everybody, you have to go out to the 6 to determine if they're reactive hypoglycemia. But you're going to learn how to do more thorough history with them. And if they're a person who says, oh, you know, if I get to 3 hours without eating, I'm crashing and burning, I got to be eating at that point, then those are the people you're going to see if you can get them to measure a little bit more out to that 3 hour mark, or a late longer if you can get them to do it, to see if they're crashing, if their blood sugar is going real high and then real low. And then the postprandial mapping, right? So I think that the peak on most people, 30 to 60 minutes. I have seen people who say they typically peak at about an hour and 15 or an hour and a half. The peak is what? The peak is when the sugar starts at baseline, and then as they get further away from the meal, the sugar's rising as it gets absorbed into the bloodstream, hits a peak, and then it starts coming back down again. I like to see that peak between 30 and 60 minutes. It means that they're having very short periods of time with that elevated glucose. Then the insulin gets it into the cells and everything's normal. Ideally, by 2 hours, return to pre-meal levels. Somebody in our program recently said to me, well, it sometimes takes, you know, it's like I'm not really all the way to fasting back at 2 hours, but by 3 I am. Is that a problem? I think it's just where you're at right now. It's not like, okay, you ate avocado and lettuce and it caused your peak to go out to, or your return to normal at 3 hours, stop eating that. No, you can get a little bit over crazy with this. We have to keep people calm with this. The peak should be as low as possible. When we look at studies, when the insulin, the glucose goes above 100 even, it's causing some damage. That doesn't, everything causes damage, right? We exercise, we got some damage to the muscle, the body repairs. It doesn't mean it's terrible, but if it persists, then that damages the pancreas and the retinas and the peripheral nerves. Okay? So ideally, we want the peak, right? The variation from start to peak to be under 30, right? And I had mentioned 20 at one point, and now some people are taking me seriously at 20. Under 30, ideally under 25. But when we're starting to work with people, they're not going to be in the ideal. We're working at getting them to the ideal. This is especially important for folks who have a higher fasting glucose. People who are already insulin resistant or diabetic, when they start to see you and their fasting is at 100, I recommend they keep it below 110. But if their fasting is 85, yeah, they can do that. If their fasting is 103, it's really hard to eat anything that's going to not raise it 7 points. So I tell them to use the guideline of under 25, ideally under 30, if need be, right? So we help people to be relaxed about it, but also to be stringent about what they're eating. You know, if they eat ho-hos and their blood sugar goes up to 150, but it returns to normal by 2 hours, that's not a good thing, right? So, when I have them test would be right before they eat the meal, right after they eat the meal, or 15 minutes. They don't necessarily have to do it right after. The real scientific ones will want to see that. It depends on how long they take to eat the meal. People say, do I have to do it right after? Well, if you take an hour to eat your meal, you might want to take it right after, because that food that you ate at the beginning part of the meal is already in the bloodstream, some of it. So I would say it just depends. If they eat fast, if they eat in 20 minutes, you don't have to do it immediately. Wait 15 minutes. And I have them do every 15 minutes for the first hour and a half. Now, I'm oftentimes bargaining with people because they're going, I don't think so. I don't think I can do every 15 minutes. I'm scared. So you bargain with them, right? You go through and you help them to make a deal and do it in ways that you think you can get enough information. And you don't have to do it quite that often, but it gives you the best information that way. So over 100, this study shows that beta cell destruction begins at over 100 milligrams. And every little increase in the 2-hour glucose tolerance test correlates to how much beta cell failure was detectable. Higher the sugar rose, even within the normal range, the more beta cells were fasting, which says to me, maybe we need to rethink our normal range, right? We have in this program, but most docs are not up to speed on that. Diabetic retinopathy develops at the pre-diabetic levels, they're saying, right? So more than 60% of the retinopathy cases were among patients where their fasting levels were below 126. That's barely diagnosable as diabetic. But they also had retinopathy, like this is a large percentage, at 100. 7.4 to 13.4% of the participants had retinopathy when their glucose levels were at 100. So studies show like, okay, 120, 140, but certainly anything above 120 is going to be damaging. Let's get these people to watch what they're getting. The docs are saying, yeah, sure. I had somebody write in and I kind of got in a little argument and I kind of had to back out of this little thing in a forum. They were saying, what did he say? He said, I just did a self-administered glucose tolerance test. And from what I've read, if I'm over 200, I'm diabetic. If I'm over 160, I'm insulin resistant. And if I'm below 160 at 2 hours, I'm normal. And I wrote back and said, well, I think you want to rethink those numbers. Here's some stats and here's why. And he went, well, the Mayo Clinic says this. I go, okay. If the Mayo Clinic says it, who am I to argue? But the point is that's what they're saying. So they told him that if he was below at the 2-hour mark, if he was below 160, he was okay. It should never go above 160. You're having damage. So this is the educational piece that you're going to use with people. There's the charts. We'll go through these in way more detail in the presentations in the program. This is in the glucose monitor, but you'll see that insulin and glucose kind of mirror each other. The top is the glucose. The bottom is insulin. Most people, if you average it out, they peak right around 45 minutes and then they come down. But the cool part about this is that when you see what the lower end, if you averaged out the people in the lower end, they were barely going above like 100, 120. These other people were going way up high. We're wanting to keep people down here. And we go through this in the glucose module. Okay? So when you look at native countries, native populations who don't have our garbage in the environment, who don't eat our processed food, they eat whole foods, they exercise, their postprandial glucose rarely goes above 100. So that's why I think I'm in good place to ask them to keep it below 110, with the exception, like you have somebody that's already diabetic or insulin resistant, you ask them to not eat any foods that raise it above 20 to 30 points. Okay, and you get results really quickly. People get their levels in range so quickly, it's amazing. The problem with most of these people who are told you don't have a problem with blood sugar is that the doctor didn't do complete testing. They've just done fasting glucose. They'll test fasting insulin sometimes in diabetics, not always. They'll test hemoglobin A1C for sure, but as soon as they become diabetic. And the average blood, the hemoglobin A1C when a person becomes diabetic is around 9 or 8 or 10 even. It's already real high. What's hemoglobin A1C? It's the glycosylation, the sugar coating of the red blood cells. So this is something you'll learn way more about in the assessments piece of the program. Postprandial glucose, they don't measure that except at 2 hours, and they tell them that if it's at 160 or 140, you're okay. It's crazy. And then they don't also measure the insulin fasting and postprandial. And we'll go through all of this, and we'll also go through the chart. So I just want, all I want to point out to right now is that you've got to be looking at the optimal range versus the conventional range. The optimal range versus the conventional range. In the conventional range, lots of things are missed, right? In the conventional range, they'll say insulin resistance 100 to 119, okay? I'm thinking it's a lot lower based on the statistics. So we go through this in detail in the assessments module. Hemoglobin A1C, the normal 9 diabetic level is considered 3.5 to 5.5. Holy cow, that's a huge range. What that means is that their average blood glucose is anywhere from like 85 to 119, and that's considered normal. The ideal, I think, looking at the stats, looking at what it averages out to, 4.5 to 5. Okay, that's what we're targeting for people too. And we see it, we see people dropping their A1Cs. You can't test hemoglobin A1C constantly. It really isn't going to show much change until about 3 months. And, you know, when people say glycemic index, I'm going to eat a banana, the glycemic index is 70, that's a little bit high. Oh, I'm going to eat this low glycemic agave syrup because the glycemic index is 40. It's useless. It's basically the average of a whole bunch of people just mushed together. And, hey, you know, some of those people are low and some of those people are high. And I love this analogy. You might have heard me say it before. Forgive me for repeating myself, but if you have a bunch of seventh graders in an impoverished school district and you decide you're going to donate shoes to them for their baseball team, and you ask them to calculate the average shoe size of those children, and you buy 100 pairs of shoes for those kids in size 7, how useful is that? It's crazy, right? Maybe a handful, maybe 10% of them have size 7 feet. Some of them are 6, some of them are 11. You can't lump people together and say, this is the average, so this is the normal. It gets people in trouble, it gets people sick, and it gets contributing to this problem that we have in our society. So you're going to be taken through the modules, the movement, the nutrition, the stress, the sleep, and the timing. Those are the main lifestyle components that you're going to be taken through. You're going to get resources on the site for every little bit of this. I start people off on nutrients. I start them off with the top three of these, and if they're willing to do a little more, we'll put them on zinc and B vitamins, assuming it's indicated, assuming that they need it. But the chromium, magnesium, and DHA are so critical. And I see people say, wow, I finally don't have cravings. And one of our participants said, you know, I used to come home from work, I'd eat dinner, and then I'd be munching all night long because I had so many cravings after dinner. So as soon as I started the chromium, I didn't get that anymore. And then they phase out the food. So I let them, the approach I take, even though I'm a foodie and I think that we should go food first, for the most part, the reason I don't is that people have the cravings. And I say, just avoid these foods. It's really hard to just say no. So I help them to reset some of the insulin receptors, and then we have them just say no. And we give you all the tools you have, like resource charts and things that you can share. There's a whole done for you section. Here's some other important nutrients. We'll go into these in super detail in the nutrition module. We'll give you the vitamin C calibration instructions. We guide you to getting them in sleep. You may have some additional, but the sleep module goes into a lot of details, including mapping their sleep cycles. It's an advanced technique, but some people, it's phenomenal. And yeah, when they don't get enough sleep, what happens to the blood glucose? We'll share with you the studies I found that show that the insulin resistance happens the next day. The other thing that happens is the cravings because of the leptin, and I have a whole module, section of the module in there on the details of the hormones that are involved with that. When you don't get sleep, what gets thrown off, and how the appetite regulation is way off as well. The timing myths, you've heard them all. How many times do I get interviewed on a summit or am asked when I'm just chatting in conversation, so what do you think about eating small, frequent meals? I think it's starting to go out of favor now with more and more research being shown about intermittent fasting benefits, but whew, that small, frequent meal stuff, sometimes you argue with people, the dietitians are big on those. And it just doesn't work because it doesn't make sense with the physiology. Everything I'm teaching you makes sense with the physiology and the biochemistry. Do you have to alter it for certain people? Of course. Not everybody's the same. But everything that I teach you in this program is grounded in science, not in somebody's opinion. Yes, we have to temper science, with the person's actual clinical experience. Yeah, we have to remove certain foods and add other foods that may not be what we think book-wise is going to be right. That's where the art of working with people comes in. So we'll teach you about that timing, like eat a little goo at the end of your exercise or during your exercise or the replacements. That just thwarts growth hormone big time. We go through all the studies on that. Eat at bedtime. Who hasn't heard that one? And then these are the steps we take you through. There's modules, the implementation module. I'll show you the list of the modules in a bit. But the implementation module is where we go, okay, you've learned all this stuff now. Now, how do you do this step by step? Of course, you can be putting it into place all throughout, but how do you do it step by step? And guiding your clients to their goals. I start every program with, what's your dream? What do you really want? What is this problem causing you to not do in your life that you really want to? Get them committed to their why right up front. Get yourself committed to your why of why you joined this program and how you want to be of help and how you want to be instrumental in changing this world. And you'll stick with the studies and you'll be able to help them to stick with their programs when you help them get connected to their dream. This is our goal, is to get everybody into this normal insulin response to food. They eat, the sugar rises, the pancreas does its thing, it secretes insulin, insulin does its thing, escorts glucose into the cells, glucose decreases, leptin levels rise, trigger fat burning and no appetite in between meals, pancreas stops secreting insulin, everybody's happy, the blood vessels are nice and happy because they're not getting stiff and brittle, and we get increased energy. Like if you tell somebody that says I eat and then I get more tired, there's a problem here, right? And then they get hungry again a few hours later and they eat again. So this is what we're guiding people towards, but this is where they're at generally. Glucose rises, the pancreas secretes insulin, the cells are resistant, so the glucose stays high and the pancreas secretes even more and more and more until finally the excess sugar, the excess insulin triggers the storage of that as fat, as triglycerides, conversion to triglycerides and then fat, and then increases the damage to the blood vessels. And then they're hungry again right away. Why? Because there's no energy getting into the cells. This is how you're going to be the savior. What one of our clients from our very first program always said, you're the miracle worker. No, your body's the miracle. I'm just guiding it. You're going to be able to guide people to access the miracle that's already in their bodies. We all have the potential to self-heal, and you are going to be guiding them. You all have access to the sweet spot solution, but the sweet spot is that place where they feel balanced and energetic and focused. They're at their ideal weight. They feel successful. They're connected and they feel unstoppable. That's what you're going to guide these guys to when you help them to find their own sweet spot. So this is what it's going to look like when you log in. Most of you have already logged in and you've gone through some of the stuff. You're going to go in and there's a getting started piece which says, you know, do these steps if you've never been in our website before to make sure that you get your emails and safe list and all that kind of stuff. The little, you know, gooey admin type stuff. Then you get into click on the modules and this is what you see. Module one is an introduction and the foundational principles. So we have a couple of presentations that take some of what I talked about today, reinforce it, go into more depth. Then we go into assessments and labs. That's where you learn how to do the glucose testing, what labs mean what, how to order the labs if you want to. You don't have to order the labs, but it is just another piece of data in that discovery process. And we have a whole page on glucose testing with videos and how to interpret it and everything. And then we have the optimizing nutrition module. We go into all the details on the food and the recipe guides are there and the charts of foods that help, foods that hurt, and all the nutrients. There's a whole guide in there on the different nutrients and all. And then a shopping guide, too, of some of the brands that I like. The stress management piece. You may have your own stress management techniques and you can add to it. You can use mine. You can use a combination. The fitness piece where you're going to learn about burst training and other kinds of things. And you have access to my entire fitness library that I put together for my clients, which are videos. Some of them are really great videos and some of them are kind of, you know, they're simple. But it's to give you an idea of how you can actually create your own little videos when you're working with people. How simple it is. Here I am doing this in my kitchen, doing this with my home weight machines, having somebody hold the cell phone and take pictures. But it gives people like, it gives them hope that, oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do this. I can do this, right? And then we have the whole sleep module, including the whole thing on all the herbs and the nutrients and doses and everything like that. Then we have the timing module. Timing is everything. Then we have the put it all together. We call it implementation strategies. And then we go into, we have marketing and the business pieces. Like, how do you go out and make a program? We have a whole presentation that you can take and go out into your neighborhoods, go online and do a webinar and use my slides, change them up, take my copyright off of them. We're giving you that as an option to do so that you can get started right away. I'm going to teach you in that module, too, how to put together all the information you've learned here and create a program that you can guide people through either one-on-one in small groups or if you want to do large groups as well. We have a download page that has all the documents in one place. We also have a bonus in there that most of you were eligible for, some of you were anyway, on the genetics of blood sugar testing, and you'll see that over here somewhere. The way that the site works, you'll click on it to get into this page, or you can click through on the right-hand side, look for insulin resistance, click on the little arrow, and it'll list all the modules, and you can go straight to whichever module you want to. At the end of the module, at the end of each module, there's a test, and you need to pass those tests in order to go through your certification, okay? And so on this side is all of our programs. So if you're in other programs with us, you'll see them listed on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side are all the pieces within each module. There's a done-for-you section in many of the modules, and anything in the done-for-you, it tells you the criteria, but you can use those to create handouts and documentation for your clients. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say. I wanted to give you an overview, reinforce some of the stuff you already know, give you some ideas of what to expect. And now I'm open for questions. And before I do that, we have a list. Let me show you on here again. Up at the top where it says schedule, click on the schedule and it'll show you all the calls we have scheduled. So we have them scheduled out. The office hours calls as well as the calls that are the program, right, that we're running right now, the live program. And then the recordings, once the call is done, you'll go to the recordings page and you'll see the recordings and they'll be listed in reverse order chronologically. So the newest ones are at the top so you don't have to go scrolling backwards through. You also have access to old calls from previous times we've done this. That is a huge boon for you because we go through cases. We've had people submit things. The questions are phenomenal, and if you have time, download them and put them on your iPhone or your Android and listen to them while you're exercising, listen to them while you're making food, while you're waiting for your kids to come out of piano lessons or whatever else you might do where you might have some time that's kind of downtime. When you're driving, I mean, a phenomenal way to learn, and you can learn from those old calls. And maybe every now and then you're going to go, oh, my God, I didn't know that one. I want to write that down. Oh, I have a client just like that. I'm going to go back and listen to that again and again so I get the idea. You learn tremendous amount from each other. All right, so that's it. Up at the top homepage, if you have other programs of ours, you click there, you'll see in the drop-down menu which ones, if you're in nutritional endocrinology practitioner training, if you're in our clinical mastery digestion, if in the past you did our adrenal program, whatever ones you're in here. If you've been to Shine and you had videos of that, you should see that. I'm not sure if it's over here, but you'll see it on the right-hand side. It'll say events. So everything's all in one place. Know that you have a free two free tickets, actually, to our Shine event, which is November 3rd to 5th this year. And you're not guaranteed those tickets unless you register them, because if we run out of space, we run out of space. Okay? So register them early. You should have gotten an opportunity to do that when you first registered, but maybe you didn't know enough about it. We've sent you a couple of emails since then. We'll be sending emails out every couple of weeks to remind you, because maybe you haven't checked the airline flights yet or whatever. These These are phenomenal. And this particular one I'm super excited about because it's how do you optimize for genetic potential? And we're going to go through every system in the body and all the genes that are associated with it. And then the lifestyle and diet things that you can teach your clients to do to epigenetically modify that. People have been asking for this in-depth study. And we're going to do it. I've done little ones, like I have an insulin resistance presentation here. I have one in the digestive system, but we're pulling it all together. So set up a time to go. I think it's shinelivebonus.com. And you'll put a $97 deposit down on the ticket. When you show up, you'll get that back. It is free, but it's a save your seat ticket because we're not going to hold sick seats for people who say, yeah, maybe I'll be there, maybe I won't. And then we turn away people who want to be there. So if you don't make it, you lose your $97. If you make it, great. You get to get your $97 back, or you can apply it towards our VIP option, which will include all your meals or most of your meals and some other really good bonuses. So I highly recommend shinelivebonus.com. It's, you get it. It's what you get. And there's other bonuses that we've offered as part of the program. And we'll be getting to those. We don't want to overwhelm you at the beginning. We usually let you in the program for 4 weeks or so, get accommodated to it, and then any of the other bonuses will start to show up. Bonuses tab is up here. Some of them are bonuses that are like a live event with someone. And then what we'll do with that is we'll just send you an email that'll say, here's how you get access to that live event. All right. If you have any questions, always go to the Facebook group. The INE Facebook group is phenomenal group of individuals. We decided not to separate the programs like insulin resistance, digestion, NEPT. We put everybody together in that same program so we can talk to each other. We also have a separate one for our NEPT, which is our nutritional endocrinology practitioner training, which is the in-depth 2-year certification program in all the nutritional endocrinology. And know that as you go through this program, that if you are getting close to the end and you're saying, you know, I really want to upgrade. I really want to go more. I want to learn thyroid. I want to learn digestion. I want to learn the sex hormones. I want to do all the advanced clinical lab testing. I want to do this. I want to learn all the nutrients, the micronutrients, the all the in-depth 30-hour module that we have on micronutrients. If you want to do that, you can apply the tuition you paid for this program and get 100% credit as long as you upgrade by the end of the year. So, or by, I think it's November, by before Shine. That's kind of our cutoff. And you'll be able to upgrade. You, and you won't have lost a dime here, right? You don't go, oh, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you can, I love this training. I want more. You just let us know. And at any point in time, you can get into the entire program. So I'm open for questions. And I'm going to look to see, the way that you do it is you raise your hand, *2 on your telephone keypad, hit P-pad, will raise your hand, *2 on your telephone keypad, and I will open up your line and answer your questions. I love to hear from you. My favorite, I will tell you, is to answer your questions live as opposed to the questions you type in. We also have them on the Q&A. I'm going to see if there's any there. There are a few, on the Q&A. And then there's the chat. And Lynn, if there's any in the chat that I've missed, because if it's gone by too fast, I will have missed it. Julie, yay, hi from Eugene, says, this is such a great course, loving it. I didn't get the code for the online fitness trainer for Maria. Can you send it to me? Here's what you do. It was sent in an email, and we're not going to send it out to individuals, but here's what we're going to do. We actually posted it on the Sweet Spot site. So if you log into the Sweet Spot and you go to the top, and Lynn, if you have that handy, put it in the chat because everybody in here gets access to that. It was a bonus, and we're loving that. But you just log into the Sweet Spot, and right on the front page it says, hey, activate your bonus, because it's a limited time. She had to get certain box of people in her calendar, and so you've got to sign up by Saturday. Julie, okay, Rhonda says, am I taking my sugars at times it seems to peak after the 2 hours? What does that mean? Hard to say. You'll learn this as you go through it. You've got to look at your stress levels. You've got to look at what you ate, how much fat was in your meals, and which meals were they? And that's what you're going to start to learn to ask your clients, right? Oh, like what did they eat? They may say, oh, I ate a meal today and my sugar went up, you know, to whatever, it peaked at, after 2 hours. What does that mean? Information is critical. So you're going to learn as you go through this program how to ask the questions so that you get the right information. So what could it mean? It could be that you got stressed. You got a stressful phone call and it caused your numbers to go up. It could be that there's certain foods that you ate that you're sensitive to and that you ate enough fat to slow it down. Some people, when they eat beans, legumes with fat, they will peak later. So it doesn't tell me anything until I would see all your charts and your numbers. And you're welcome throughout this program to upload. There's an uploader on the site under the resources tab. I still have that on the screen if you want to see. And I can take a look on these calls, or you can just feed them to me in these chats. Like, this is the stuff that was happening, and we'll make sure that it gets answered. Jeanette says, I have insulin resistance but eat really well. The doctor kept me on 2,000 milligrams of metformin. I think it's too much. Looking at my test results, have you seen patients over-medicated? They're always over-medicated. So when you say I eat really well, people are going to say that to you, I eat really well. What does that mean, really? What does that mean? So you start tracking your glucose and you say, well, I was eating really well for 25 years and I found that I had insulin resistance and my hemoglobin A1C was 5.7. Like, what? But I was eating whole foods, plant-based diet. I was eating too much fruit for my particular body type, perhaps, but I wasn't sleeping well. So there's the five factors, and we're going to guide you through each of those, and that's what you're going to do. So you will find, if you actually follow this program for yourself, Jeanette, you're probably going to see it go down. And if your stress levels are high, that's going to cause the increase of cortisol. So we're going to teach you how to assess all of these things as you go through. All right, that was Jeanette. Let's see. Suzanne, hi. I can't tell you how amazing your programs are and the quality of video presentations, materials you've recreated for us to download. All truly remarkable. Can't thank you enough for all you do to everyone. A blessing from God. Oh, Susan, thank you so much. I so appreciate hearing that. And here's the thing. What we do unique, most programs don't. You can download everything. So in some of our programs, not so much in the practitioners, we just kind of give you quote unquote lifetime access. But, you know, when you look at most programs, you have to be on the computer to watch the videos. That drives me up a tree, because what I like to do is download those so that when I'm on an airplane, I have it on my computer and I can watch it. You can't stream, even if you pay the $12 for the internet, you can't stream live videos. And I can't watch stuff, so it's a waste if I can't download them. We make everything downloadable. You can download every bit of the course, and you can watch it for years to come. You can put it on whatever devices. It's portable. It's important to me. I know that lots of colleagues can say, why do you do that? Aren't you afraid people are going to steal your stuff? No, I'm not. I'm really not. I know that my stuff is good, and I know that you people are, you're really, you know, forthright, and you're doing this for a reason. You're not doing it to rip me off. Right. And so I allow you to download and do download and watch things. Yay. Kathy says, to get certified, do we need to complete the Sweet Spots program? No, you don't. I mean, the Sweet Spot program, there's a lot of the same information as you're getting, only more in depth in the insulin resistance. You just have to pass all the things. There's no way for me to monitor if you actually did complete the Sweet Spot program. Is it to your advantage to do it? Yeah, because you know what it's like for you. But no, you don't have to do that, but you have to pass the module exams on the 9 modules. I think we don't have a module on the marketing. We don't have an exam on the marketing part. Whew, this is interesting. Kathy said, yeah, the bonuses I saw, food resources, recipes, menus, and food prep videos, and you clicked to that and didn't have access. Yes, absolutely, you're supposed to have access. I will say that the site for the practitioners, this site's been up for years, several years. The other side, we are just migrating to that new site. Wonderful site, we love it, but we're finding that there's a few things that haven't been worked out in terms of permissions. So, Lynn, if you can take Kathy's name down, just go into the Q&A. Kathy is having trouble with that. If you can write her name down and look at it, and just also just look in general and ask you know, our team if they can just make sure that all the insulin resistance people have access to all the Sweet Spot stuff, And if it shows on the menu, you should be seeing it, right? You should be seeing it. You should be able to get access. So there's a mistake there. So at least you're seeing it on the menu. Yeah. Adriana says, how much is the upgrade? Are you talking the upgrade to any PT? Yeah, you'd have to have a conversation. We don't take everybody. It's application only. And there's a lot of different options in the way you do it, whether it's a monthly, whether it's a quarterly, whether you do the foundations or the mastery or the core. There's a lot of different options. So to give you that would just, it's too difficult without finding out what's right for you and then matching the person to the program, just like we do with our clients. Our people. How long do we have access to this program and the sweet spot? The sweet spot, we give a year access, but you have lifetime access. All you have to do is download things. To this, we generally say lifetime, the lifetime of the program. So however long you need access, you have access. But lifetime if you download everything and you have access to download it. Suzanne, congratulations, says her A1C is 5.1. Suzanne, I've been taking my blood glucose daily for over a year and the spikes are all over the place. I know that weak links are stress and lack of sleep. I eat an 80-10-10 diet. Yeah, so start monitoring it the way we've recommended and then look at doing the 30-day metabolic reset yourself. And so whoever asked me just before, if we have to do the program, absolutely do the sweet spot metabolic reset. Do it. You can just do the modules on the IRSPTC side, but do that and keep your blood sugars below 110 for a month, even if it means you're just eating, you know, fish and vegetables and nuts, right? You do what you have to do to keep it there, and that's going to reset you, and then you go through the transition. So, yeah, it sounds like this is what happened to me, right? I had blood glucose spikes all over the place with what I was eating. I was eating, you know, a lot of sweet fruit, and I was eating dates, and I was eating whole fresh foods like you're doing right now, but it wasn't the right diet for me. Let's see. And your A1C is 5.1 in spite of having spikes all over the place. So you're having a lot of low. Yeah. Work on the pieces for yourself. Work through the sweet spot pieces for yourself. Good job. I've talked with Dr. Rick, Dr. Karen, Dr. Doug Gray, and Dr. Michael Clapper about my fatigue, brain fog, and numb feet. They feel it's not the diet, but my lack of sleep and stress. I keep wondering if perhaps fruit isn't working well for you. It may not be, and you may need to temporarily get off of it, do it through the metabolic reset, and then add it back and see how you eat it. Like for me, if I eat a little bowl of pineapple and I have a huge salad or a huge green smoothie without fruit with it, my blood sugar doesn't go up too much. But if I just sit down and eat some pineapple, it goes skyrocketing through the roof. And if I'm sleeping, it works better for me. So yeah, your diet may be good, but the 80-10-10 may be a little bit too much fruit for you, and you may have to shift that. You also have to look at, are you getting the right balance of omega-6 and 3? Because a lot of people that are doing 80-10-10 are just not getting enough of the good fats. I'm not saying you have to go on a high-fat diet, but the 80-10-10, sometimes if you're not careful about what you're eating, you're not getting enough omega-3s and you're getting too many omega-6s. But yeah, lots that you can do. Okay, I got all those questions. I'm going to look to see who's got their hands up. Nobody. Nobody wants to talk to me. I'm sad. Somebody raise your hand. Star 2 raises your hand. Talk to me. Chat. Yeah. Yes. So Suzanne, it could possibly be the fruit. Let's see. Lynn, is there anything else in the chat that I need? I think you copied them in for me, so that's great because it's really hard. Yeah, you did. You copied a lot of these in. Thank you so much. Any other questions or comments? How are you doing so far? I'd love to hear, like, just how you're doing so far. Are you finding it? Are you getting in? Are you starting slow? You can go at whatever pace you want to go at. There's no, like, you have 6 months to complete your certification. Yeah, we want you to complete it within a year. Or we'll have a fee, you know, an extra fee associated with certification. So, but we'll get you information about that. What else? I just had my hand up and it went down. I didn't put my hand up. That's weird. I see Brandon and Anonymous and Elaine and Sunny and Henry from Austin. We're in Austin. Talk to me. Raise your hand. I'll open your line. Claudia from Los Angeles and Valerie from North Carolina and Ling from San Jose and Viet from Ontario. And we have someone from Dedham, Massachusetts and Julie from Eugene and Patty from Virginia and Lynn from Iowa and Julie from Eugene. Those are all the people on the phone. And I don't really know because of the way this service is. We don't know the exact people that are on. And we have Mona with her hand up from Waco. Hey, Mona, almost a neighbor.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hey, can you help me with the people that you say are the most challenging, which are the thin folks, because I myself am thin. And I also have a client that I would like to work with that he's fairly thin as well. Any tips you could give me?
Well, the thing is, people who tend to be thin either don't eat enough, so you have to evaluate that, or they have a very high metabolic rate. And when you're working with them, and if they have insulin resistance and they're thin, the biggest complaint I hear from them is, oh, I don't want to lose weight. I don't want to lose weight. So first of all, if they're super thin, like I talked to somebody the other day, she weighs 93 pounds. I want to make sure that she doesn't lose any weight. Other people who are thin, you know, weigh 100, and females I'm talking, like, you know, an average size female weighs 120, 115. There's a little extra that it doesn't matter if you lose a few pounds because the pounds will come back. So I work with people on making sure they're getting enough at each meal. So it may be that we're adding a little extra calories. I'm not a fan of oil in general, but sometimes if this person just can't eat more in the way of fiber, we'll have them add a little bit of a good quality, high quality cold pressed oil to their meals. For some, we might make some more nut creams that they'll add to their salads and make a dressing that has a little bit more oomph to it, a little bit more calories. And then sometimes with the really thin people, going for 4 to 6 hours between meals, just you can't do it, right? So you have to bend the rules a little bit, but you make sure that if they are going to have a snack in between meals, it's something that's going to be low glycemic. So they're testing their sugars, or it's something you know is going to be low glycemic. Maybe it's some celery strips dipped in a cashew cream or a hummus or something like that, as long as it doesn't raise their sugar. But that's what you would maybe have them do. Hummus might be a little bit too high carbohydrate.
Yeah, beans, I'm like you. Everything is spiking me out. I mean,
yeah,
garbanzo beans the other day, yeah, real high.
Yeah, fruit. So just to make some of the nut creams, the seed creams, have it with some celery in between meals, and keep it up. But don't, you know, don't go too crazy. I mean, don't eat every 2 hours, but see what you can maintain. And if you're super thin and you're losing weight, then add a little bit of food. But I say to them, let's give it a try first. Let's just give it a try to make sure that your meals are substantial. If you're losing weight on that, then we're going to add a few extra calories. And sometimes just in a shake, right? If they're already doing a green smoothie or some sort of a protein shake, you can add some extra calories to it. I worked with someone she had cancer. This is many years ago. She had cancer and it was really hard to keep calories up. So I designed a shake for her that was caloric enough, but good, healthy calories. And that was able to keep her sustained.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Mona. All right. Let's see if there's any more questions. Otherwise, we'll let you go.
Actually, this is Liz.
Yeah.
Suzanne further clarified. She said, I'm wondering about the amount of fats on the Sweet Spot program. I'm still used to eating low fat. I worry about too much fat causes more blood glucose problems. May I ask what your carb protein fat ratios are on most days?
Yeah, so I don't think you should be combining fat and fruit at the same time. So no sugar or carbs with your fat because it can impact the uptake. If you are going to eat carbs, you want to eat it away from your fat and you want to eat it with greens. So if you're going to be eating fruit or grains, you want to eat it separate. If you eat the fats and you eat a meal that's all whole food, plant-based fat, non-heated, and you eat it with a ton of vegetables, every meal should be 75% vegetable, and then the fat, you know, a whole food plant-based fat, you're going to be fine. I have not seen a single report that shows that people who eat whole food plant-based fats, whole fats, have problems with insulin resistance. It's the studies all show it's the oils and the hydrogenated and the heated and the fried foods and the animal fats that are creating a problem.
I have a question on that.
What?
I have a question on that too. I'm not disagreeing with you. But some of the things that I have read say that when you do it in a smoothie, because you're breaking it down, sort of that pre-digestive process, you can have a smoothie with a little bit of fruit and maybe something like some nuts or coconut or avocado or something like that. So
I don't know that about that. I kind of disagree based on the biochemistry. It may be unique from person to person, but based on the biochemistry, I'm a little leery of combining fruit and fat in a smoothie. So if you're going to do a smoothie and you tolerate fruit in a smoothie, do a smoothie with greens and fat. Chia and hemp just seem to not create that same problem because they're not as fatty and they have so much more nutrient density and more fiber to them than the average fat. But I have my smoothies have coconut, usually it's avocado, sometimes coconut, and lots of greens, right? And,
So the avocado is okay because I usually do put in some avocado in my smoothies as well.
I'm not sure if it's okay. See how it does for you. See how your triglycerides.
I do okay with the avocado. I do not tolerate coconut as well.
Okay.
So that's just me though.
Yeah, and you're saying you do okay with the avocado with some apple or something.
Usually it's just a little bit of blueberries.
Okay. So you have to find what works for you, right? That I'm leery of that combination, but like I said, you have to find what works. That combination of fruit and fat, it oftentimes is what creates that resistance, more resistance. Watch your sugars. Watch what happens. Watch it long term. Right. Short term, you watch it, but also long term. How's your hemoglobin A1C? Is it coming down or is it staying the same or going up? How is your triglyceride HDL ratio? Is that getting better or is it staying the same or not? And that's how you kind of tell when you're working with people. You look at them daily. You look at their glucose charts and you say, wow, they seem like they're eating a whole good diet. But then when you go back and do some of the tests, you go, whoa, oh, they're still fatigued and they still have some numbers out of balance. Let's change it. It's very different. You know, I'm just so anti-dogma, right? 80-10-10 or macro or keto or whatever. It's what works for you. What works for you. Yeah.
And Suzanne does say, she says, yes, I'm all about food combining. And that is one reason, because fruit digests faster than protein or fat. And so it can create that fermentation. So
right.
I understand that. But some of the other things, because I see a lot of people putting fat in with their smoothies that have fruit. And it may have greens, but... And so I was really curious about that. And so some of what I had read, and maybe they're just justifying, was that they felt that it pre-digested it so that it was, because the blending in a smoothie will break it down. So that was what they're...
Blending in a smoothie does not break down fat. Does not
well,
break down fat.
Thank you, because I was really confused. That's why I was
break
really
down
bad.
Fat. Lipase and bile and all that is required to break down. Now, if you blend the smoothie and you throw in some powdered digestive enzymes in there and some probiotics and you let it sit for a half hour to an hour and let those critters do their thing, like the enzymes
right.
and the critters, then you're going to pre-digest, right? You soak and germinate the nuts first.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's like this plant that's starting to grow, right? So it's a very different animal.
I do often make my, what I call cultured nuts. It's like a nut yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put that in with my smoothies.
That's one of my exceptions that I make. I'll make a cultured nut-based yogurt, coconut or cashew or whatever, and then I'll put that in with some chia seeds and blueberries.
Right.
And that seems to be just fine. But it's the culturing that breaks it down. Blending releases the sugar. It will release the sugar.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why I was really confused, because it didn't make sense to me. But there were several people that were saying this, and
who are the people? I was like, are they quoting?
Well, like Uriel Cam was one of them, and he usually says some good things. So, so that's why I thought, well, we have this call today, and thank you so much, Suzanne, for bringing up this topic It was a good segue for my question. She does say she eats a huge amount of veggies, about 2 pounds of greens and 5 to 6 pounds of other vegetables, along with 3 to 5 pounds of fruit each day. She has to eat a great deal to keep her weight on, as she's very
lucky. Lucky you. No, I'm not. I can't eat anywhere near that, or I would be a blimp.
Right. And then her triglycerides are 57, and her HDL is 53.
Great, that perfect numbers. Those are perfect numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your hemoglobin A1C was 5.1. So, you know, it might be working well, but you've got this fatigue and brain fog, and it might be related to some of the other things that are happening with your stress levels and cortisol in and of itself, regardless of it. So it sounds like your blood sugar levels are doing well. But when we're working with clients, we want to, like people say to me all the time, well, I read that blah, blah, blah. Well, where did you read it? Show me
right.
it. Read it.
Right.
Because there's a lot of opinions out there. And let me tell you, there's a lot of quote-unquote health coaches out there who have no training. They're just self-proclaimed. Or they've been through IIN. Nothing against IIN. It's a great program. But that's it. They don't have the depth of the understanding of how the body truly works on a level and how to customize. So they may be just repeating something someone else said, like the whole thing was don't eat raw cruciferous vegetables because it's going to kill your thyroid. Well, there's some evidence that it can hurt your thyroid if you already have an existing thyroid problem, but it's super amounts. You have to take the information and bounce it across science and then clinical experience. And a lot of people are just saying stuff with as if it's known. So here's the thing I hate. When people state opinion as fact.
Fact, yeah.
When you state opinion as fact, I'm out of here. Because I will always preface, in my opinion or in my research, this is what seems to be the case. Right? And everybody's a little different in their biochemistry and how they handle things. But the best way to eat fats, you know, nuts and seeds anyway, is to germinate them, soak them, allow that pre-processing happen, then put some cultures in there, right? Allow them to ferment. You can ferment without the addition of a starter, but it just takes longer, and you have to be more careful to make sure that the bad stuff doesn't outgrow the good stuff. But as your clients ask you questions, you just tune into them. And my favorite answer to questions is, you know what it is, right?
It depends,
and we need to do a thorough history, a thorough understanding of people, and figure it out. Right, absolutely. Numb feet. You know, when you say numb feet, Suzanne, I start to think. Let me also find out, how is your B12 status? What's your B12 status? Right.
And then Brandon said food combining changed his life. It's what taught him to eat as simply as possible, even doing a lot of mono meals.
As simple as possible, because and it just makes sense to give the digestive tract a simple meal. If you look at the way animals eat in nature, they may go and eat a bunch of stuff off a banana tree, and then they may go and eat something off the berry bushes, and they may go and eat some leaves and roots, and maybe they go kill something and eat that. But they don't just like make this big smorgasbord like we do, and it complicates it and it makes it hard. And when people are ill already, they need to calm it down. They need to simplify it.
Yep.
And so simple meals, and just help them to find what works for them. They may find that if they have a little bit of blueberry and an avocado in a big, huge green smoothie, they can last 3, 4, 5 hours and they feel great. Another person may find, oh my God, I get bloated and gassy, and they may be fermenting it, right? So tune in, Diet diaries are great. Get them to, you know, write it down as much as possible and try to hone in on what's going on. You're a better detective than they are. You're a better detective than they are, because even I would be a better detective on your diet than you are, because I'm not you. I can take my diet diary and hand it to Lynn and say, why do you think I keep getting these stomach aches? And she go, well, look at this. Every time you eat this, you wrote down you had a stomach ache. Oh, I may not have seen it, but I needed somebody else to look at it from the outside in. Yeah, and that's what we're trying to teach you, is how to be those great detectives. And you're all on the track.
Asking those questions. You know, asking the right questions is so important. So as we're talking to Suzanne, you know, it's bringing up answers from her. And sometimes you don't have to do anything. You just have to ask the questions. And then they'll go, oh, yeah, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become more committed because they have been empowered to be a partner in their own health care.
Yes.
And that's the best way to get them to work with you.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I like to call it empowered self-care is what we're striving towards.
Yep.
We're not trying to be the experts that tell people what to do. We're the people, the really kind, compassionate, very knowledgeable folks that help guide people towards their own answers and to empower them to take charge of their own health. And it's just such a beautiful thing. When I hear people and I get on these calls with people and they go, oh, yeah, oh, wow, this is so cool, I get it. And they're empowered to do something. And that's what I'm here to teach you. It's taken me a long time to get here. You know, I've done a lot of research over these 26 years of being in practice, and I've seen a lot of people one-on-one. I've done, you know, seen thousands of people in group coaching programs, guided them through stuff, and I've done a lot of research. I love looking at the biochemistry, and I love figuring stuff out, and the myth of the small meals, it doesn't even make sense in the biochemistry. It doesn't make sense because we're trying to get lower levels of insulin, not higher. And what does eating every 2 hours do? It keeps your insulin levels elevated all day. But like we just talked about with Mona, there's cases where you're having people eat more frequently because they can't afford to lose the weight. So we have to just, you know, I don't call them rules, they're guidelines. Okay, the rules are don't eat crap. Don't eat hydrogenated meals.
Just eat real food.
Don't eat junk. Don't eat processed food. But within the good foods, some of them are going to be good for you, some others. I have a hard time with a lot of the food religions that come out and say, wow, lectins are bad, and so you should never eat chia seeds, and you should never eat nuts, and you should never eat legumes, and you should never eat grains. And you're going, wait a minute, but these are good foods generally, unless the person can't handle them. Yeah, I love to say you should never eat margarine. You should never eat Crisco. You should never eat lunch meats. You should never, that's bad food. But when we demonize good foods for everybody, then we create problems and we create psychological problems for these people because they're like, I don't even know what to eat. I'm done. I'm just going to go eat junk because everything I eat is bad for me. Oxalates and this and histamines and that and lectins and the other thing and gluten and the other thing. Screw it. I'm just going to eat what I want. Give me the chocolate cake. So you want to give people, you want to empower them, not disempower them. And I think when you make generalizations like nobody should eat oxalates, come on, they're in most foods have some oxalates. Nobody should eat excessive oxalates that's high enough that it's going to impact their calcium and magnesium or that's going to cause their gut to get inflamed. Some people can't eat any for a while or, you know, very little for a while they're healing. And so your job is to help people identify those healing foods so that they can be empowered to take it the next step. So, and you guys are on the right track because you're learning and you're understanding and you're applying and you'll learn stuff from me and then you'll figure other stuff out for yourself and we'll all learn together. Make sense?
It does. One thing I wanted to point out in case people didn't understand this, as you go through the program, and there were a couple of comments about accessing things. So as
about
you
what?
Go through accessing the modules.
Oh, yeah.
So the way it works is as you complete each module and you finish that final exam, there's a box that will click off when you finish the exam. and you'll get a little box that says, congratulations, you finished module one, and then you'll get an email with the link for module two. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. So you don't have to wait for us to open it for you. You have that power within to open each of your modules as you finish each exam.
Okay. So I didn't realize that this one was upgraded to that. Yay. Because that was the intent. Yeah. Super. Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. Yeah. So it keeps you also from going nuts and going, oh, what do I do? There's 14 modules, and which do I start at? One.
Yeah. One.
Then three.
Yep, exactly.
Then four. Yeah. Do it in sequential order, and you'll be good. A lot of people ask the question, now I've got Sweet Spot and I've got this. Which should I do? Should I do Sweet Spot first and then do IRSPT? You can do it however you want. If you really feel and you have this problem yourself and you want to just go through it and focus on you and your self-care, then focus on you and your self-care. Then come back and do IRSPT. Right? We're not going to take it away from you. You have access to it. But what a lot of people do is they do them together, and we've integrated them. So you're in a module, and it says, oh, here's the link to that same equivalent module in the Sweet Spot. And if you're going to do it that way, then I'd recommend you do the Sweet Spot module first because it's not as in-depth, right? And then you come back and do the IRSBT module because then you'll go, oh, yeah, got it. Oh, there's another little distinction. Because, you know, if you've ever been to a weekend workshop and it was on a subject that's totally new to you, like if I were to go to one on, I don't know, financial planning for the stock market, and it was a real in-depth thing, I would be blown away. There'd be everything there would be new to me. If I go to a week, and then I'm not going to retain a whole lot. I'm not going to be able to use a lot. But if I were to go to a couple of other things before that and then go to that, then I may be, oh, yeah, oh, that's why that person over here said that. Ah, that's making sense. Same thing with going through this material. You'll go through the Sweet Spot module, and then you'll come back, and you'll do it, and it'll make a whole lot more sense. So, but it's totally up to you. Whatever feels the best for you, you do. Okay? Good job.
Right.
There are a couple of other questions I see in the in the Q&A I can answer, but if you have more, Lynn, go ahead and...
Well, Suzanne was just making some more questions here. She said... an Omega Quant results test.
Ooh,
it has to do with her Omega 3 index is 6.1, which is below the desirable range of 8 to 12%. She's tried to find algae DHA, but it's so sensitive to additives, natural flavors, and trying to find the right safe vegan DHA. And her homocysteine is 7.
So homocysteine is a little on the higher side. That would make sense. So there's a couple of things. I know that Dr. Furman has a DHA. If you've checked that one out, that might be cleaner than some of the others. But I just went to a health event that I was a speaker at, and I got this really cool DHA. And it's a DHA EPA. It's pure. It doesn't have any soybean oil. It's really clean. It's algae source. Had a great conversation. It's buried somewhere in either my suitcase or my backpack. And I've been, you know, kind of cursorily looking for it. So I'm going to look for that. And once I get it, I'll let you guys know. And you can actually set up an account with them. I already mentioned that to him. Can my students set up an account? Do they have to be licensed? Can they be? And he said, no, you know, just have them tell me that they came from you. We'll set them up with an account if they like it. And he has all kinds of great herbs as well. And he was so purity conscious. I really, really enjoyed meeting with him. So I'll find it and I'll post it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll add it to
the one that I have is that Nutru Omega Zen EPA DHA. It's the soft vegan capsule. It is carrageenan. It's not GMO starch, glycerin.
Yeah.
It doesn't say soybean oil. It has rosemary extract, vitamin E, and ascorbyl palmitate.
Okay. So some of them are different than others, but I'll give you this because this was the purest one I've seen. It was really clean.
Great.
Yeah. Super. All right. Good question. Julie says she's a health coach with clients and doing regular talks. Yes. I'd love to use the slideshow. How do you take off the copyright? Truly appreciate it. I love this work and I'm so excited. How do you take off the copyright is you open it in PowerPoint. We've given you a PDF, but we've also given you a PowerPoint. And it's in the, you know, done for you material somewhere. Lynn, if we can find out where that is. And you just have to open it in PowerPoint. That's all you have to do. Yeah. It should be open for them right away because it doesn't have what do you call it, a test or anything that is required for it. So if we can find that out,
yeah,
Lynn.
If you just look in your resources, mm-hmm. on your resources tab, you'll see IRSPT resources. It should be right in there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but
yeah. So that's
otherwise, I believe it's in education and marketing.
Yep. Yeah, that's all you have to do. It's easy. If you've never used PowerPoint, then I'd go online and do a little tutorial on how to use PowerPoint, but it's easy. The first time I ever used it, I did it like 2 days before I was doing a talk at an event, and I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I really like this. Easy enough, and you just take it off, and you put your own stuff in it. Yeah. Yeah, please get out there and educate people. I love it. Sunny says, I just completed a 7-day water fast and felt surprisingly amazing. What are your thoughts on the effect of water fasting and resetting your metabolism? I will tell you that I love water fasting. I believe it's changed my life. It's saved my life. I did a 9-day one. Can you hold 1 second? Some people can't do it. You felt amazingly well. It just is so many wonderful things. And I was planning on doing a little bit of a talk, probably a Facebook Live in the Sweet Spot group, as we get closer in, you know, after they start the metabolic reset and we get towards the end of it, because I think that fasting and intermittent fasting and all that, we have a whole module in the timing or a whole paper in the timing section on intermittent fasting. And I think I'll have to look to see if I actually uploaded the new version, but I rewrote that paper for, it actually was my continuing ed credits this last year for my nutrition degree because I didn't have time to attend one of their seminars and said I could do a research paper with a certain number of references. So I did it and, it's going to get published. And I also re-uploaded it, I think, into our module. I'll make sure, but it's a really good article on that. And I'm going to, as we get closer to that, in the metabolic reset, like maybe towards the third week of the metabolic reset, which would be like the end of, well, probably later than that, because I'll be, probably be in May. So once the metabolic reset's over, I'll do a little Facebook Live event on that and talk to people about what I found and share some of my numbers with ketones and glucose while I was fasting. Because this is the first time I ever did a fast. I did a 9-day fast in December, January, and it was the first time I ever did a fast where I measured my glucose and my ketones, and some of the numbers were shocking. My blood sugar was maintaining in the 30s for several days of the fast, but my ketones were in the 60s, so my body was just like sailing away, feeling wonderful on fat burning. People who are slow to be able to accommodate to that fat burning, sometimes people take 2 to 3 weeks and they feel yucky during that. Those people are slow adapters to burning ketones and they don't feel as well. But I love it, Sunny. Anybody that can do fasting is like, it's a jump start. I guided somebody through recently a 28-day water fast, and I don't recommend you guide people through that until you have tons of experience. But I guided him through this. He's local, so I could see him and check in with him. And he went from being on metformin and insulin and statin and 2 blood pressure medications to being off everything, lost like 40 pounds and feels phenomenal. And I had to watch him. We had to get him on electrolytes. We did some blood testing to make sure he was okay at about the halfway point. It does wonders. It does wonders. Yeah. Thank you for asking. It's one of my favorite topics. Great. All right. So I don't see any more there. Let me go back and see if anybody else's hands up. No other hands up. So it's time to go. Yay. Thank you guys so, so much. for being
here. I do want to say there's some people here who are just wanting to know more about the water fasting, as well as your version of keto. Brandon said his water fasting has helped heal and reverse his Crohn's disease. Bowel rest, cellular regeneration, and the detoxification is unmatched during fasting. Animals fast for nature to heal. He just did a 5-day water fast with his girlfriend, and his digestion improved even more.
Yep.
He thought it couldn't get better.
It's awesome. Yes, awesome. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll look to see when I can do one specifically for practitioners, so it will be a more high-level approach than the one in Sweet Spot, and we'll find a time and we'll do a bonus training on fasting, and we'll incorporate it into the program, because I think it's a good one to have. And I think that when you have to have numbers, because or be supervised, 5 days is fine, you can do it on your own, but if it gets longer, be very careful with working with people on it, because you know the medicine police are out there trying to get people in trouble for doing stuff. And if anything bad happens, like this guy was on insulin and he was on metformin. Now I had to have him watching and sending me his numbers twice a day and checking in. And I know his wife, and she was checking in with me to make sure he was okay. But I watched his numbers, and I said, and you have to talk to your doctor before you start this. And he did. His doctor was okay with him reducing his insulin levels, and he was down off his insulin within 2 weeks. But you've got to be careful if somebody's on those medications, because these changes work. And you can get them in big trouble if they go too low, right? If somebody goes into it too low because the food is keeping them low and they're fasting and they're on medication, you can get them in trouble. So I don't recommend that you do it. I would recommend, if you want to work with people on fasting, that you do like an internship at something like True North, out in California, because they do fasting, and you can work with people who've been doing it for decades and are very highly skilled, and you'll learn a lot about it. Okay? Yay.
And Lisa wanted to know if you should take supplements during a fast.
I personally don't, but it depends. Like if someone is taking supplements for a specific reason and it's making huge changes for them, right? So say somebody goes off their antidepressants and gets on like 5-HTP and B6 and it keeps them from being depressed, don't go off your supplements. This guy, I kept him on a couple of things, but for the most part, he didn't even do chromium. He waited. But it just depends. I'm sorry for the depends word again. But it does depend on the situation. Now, Dr. Pizzorno talks about how if you do supplements and you do even any kind of juice or anything that's caloric or the body perceives, it doesn't go into the same level of depth of detox. So it depends on why you're doing it, right? So you don't want to put somebody's body into a state of deficiency if they're on supplements that are working. Yeah, Brandon says, I definitely don't recommend people dive into fasting. So I'll tell you how this guy did it. So I talked to him about fasting. The way this started, I just talked to his wife about how my fast changed my life, and I had done 28 days. And she says, wow, do you think my husband, you know, with Crohn's disease and diabetes, do you think that could help him? I'm like, sure, it could definitely help him. So she puts the bug in his ear about him doing a 28-day water fast. Okay. So then he calls me up and says, you know, Pamela says I should do this, and I'm really excited, and I want to do this. But I said, look, I can't work with you unless you're working with your doctor. And I gave him all the criteria. I said, why don't you try this? Why don't you try a one-day fast and then eat for a few days? Eat really healthfully. Here's how to eat. And then do a two-day fast and then eat really healthfully. And then do a three-day. So he did it, and he got up to about a four-day fast. But at the end of that fourth day, his blood sugar started to drop too much. He got a little nervous. He got down into the 50s, so he started eating. Very smart decision, right? But that's how he did it. He would just, then he would do like a 3-day fast, and then he'd do a 3 days of eating. He played with it for a month. A little bit of fasting, a little bit of eating, gradually changing the food. And then his decision was January 1, he was going to start doing the longer fast, and he was determined to make it to 28 days, and he did. And now he's on an eating regime. And yeah, there have been some touchy points where he, you know, blew it when he went to a Super Bowl party. But he really is, he's really working at this. Like now he does this system where he does a 1 day fast, 1 day of eating, 2 days of fasting, 2 days of eating, 3 days of fasting, 3 days of eating, 4 days of fasting, 4 days of eating. Then he goes back down. And he's working for him. It's keeping a lot of the food cravings because he's got an addictive personality, addictive physiology as well. And it's working for him. But that may not be the regime for everybody. So now he's in the sweet spot because he wants to make this a way of life. So he's starting to incorporate. It's actually, this is so cool. His wife is doing it with him. And they both bought their own physical copies of the book because he wanted to be able to mark up his recipes and she wanted to be able to mark up hers. I'm like, you bought two copies of it? That's wild. But they bought two copies of the book. So it's very, it can work wonders, but you do have to be careful. Try it on yourself and you may not be the type that tolerates it. I absolutely love it. If I can make it past that first or second day, I'm in heaven. I just love not eating. You know, you get a little weak, of course, but I just love the feeling, that cleanness, that clarity, and how great you feel afterwards. So, yeah. Brandon says it's something I've worked towards for years. A whole foods, plant-based diet is sort of a water fast on its own. Plants are high in water content. Good way to work into it. Yeah. Yep. And for some people, just going from what they're eating into a whole foods, plant-based diet, a lot of raw foods, that's a cleanse that's so rapid that they have to slow it down, right? They'll have to eat some cooked food or some meat or something to slow it down. I'm not proposing that, but I'm saying that you just have to work with each person individually. Don't go too fast for them. Yay. Valerie says restful nights of sleep to all. So thank you guys for being here. I so appreciate you being part of this, being part of this mission. Like, we're going to change the world. You realize this? This is the future of healthcare. When I started this 26, well, it was more than that. It was like 30 years ago when I first started doing this stuff and started school. 87 was when I started my school. So that was over 30 years ago, 31 years ago. There was nothing like this, right? There was no internet, of course. There were so few people interested in this that it was this rarity. I just didn't have anybody to talk to. And now it's like more and more people because of the internet, because of the TV. I mean, they're advertising probiotics on commercials on TV. 23andMe during my husband's whatever sports. I'm like, did they just say 23andMe? Like, people are doing this. They're learning this stuff. And this is ripe for us. And a lot of people say, wow, there's so many health coaches. We don't need that many health coaches. Damn, we do. We need more and more and more and more because there's billions of people out there that don't have a clue. And when you teach them, they go, wow. Then there's the ones who say, no way, I'm not doing that. Great. Move on. There's enough of them out there who have that open-mindedness that are saying, teach me this, help me. And you're going to be the right, perfect person for them where they're at. So go out and let's change lives. Okay. I'm going to open up your lines and everybody, I want on the count of three to say bye-bye to everybody. 1, 2, 3. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank
you.
So happy.
You're
so
welcome.
Happy. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Bye.